Hey, AfterBuzzers, welcome to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for the People vs. O.J. Simpson American Crime Story Season 1, Episode 10, the finale titled The Verdict. Join us as we break down the episode and talk all about it. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Wow.
Powerful way to end this series. Oh my God, we have so much to talk about. The episode was an hour and 33 minutes, so let's get started. I'm Pegared. You can find me on Twitter at Pegared.
I'm Stephanie Georgie. You can follow me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie and on Instagram at TheStephanieGeorgie.
I'm Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Shaka Strong.
And Chris Howard. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Chris Howard Live.
Yeah, I'm still a little emotional. Steph, I was crying throughout.
Yeah.
I was crying. I mean, wow. That's all I can speech.
So funny because the way the show ended last week, I just didn't think they were going to be able to wrap it up the way they did.
Yeah.
And they did a really good job because how did I get that emotional?
You know, sitting at the edge of my seat the entire time, but I know it's going to happen.
Right, exactly. What a wonderful job they did. Yeah. We all know how the show ends.
Yeah.
But there was a suspension of disbelief. You guys were all in there, and I think I heard you say, I don't think I know how this is going to end.
I feel like I still don't know how it's going to end.
Prompts to the director and everything. So let's start out. The defense team is wanting OJ to make a statement. He's like, if you get a chance to talk, you are going to just keep blabbing, you know? Mm. And the prosecution obviously doesn't want to give OJ that chance.
Yeah.
And finally he gets up and he gets to say the famous line. What was it? I did not and could not and would not commit this crime.
Yeah.
So powerful.
It is powerful. Although if you look at lie detection and that type of thing, and I know that if you look at that, people will typically just say, no, I didn't do it.
Right.
I'm innocent. Instead of having to throw in three different ways
which
of saying it.
Which you've said before. What did we say that for? Like, it was his response in the very beginning?
Yeah, he's like, no, I loved her.
Oh, yeah, when he was asked. We use the
yes,
same. Yeah,
no, I loved her.
Which it makes more sense with
but
this.
But I would say with that these, statement, though, that's a pretty more, definitive statement, though. I would say that.
It's a definitive, but it was was it more than what was necessary, is what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was...
I'd be 100% not guilty.
Well, yeah, and I think that's why he said it. So basically, in that scene, the concern is that those words get back to the jury.
Right.
And that's what Johnny wants. Because they're assuming it's going to be a long deliberation. So
no,
if it's going to be a long deliberation...
No, it's just a concrete statement.
Yeah, if it's going to be a long deliberation, at some point the jury will hear those words. Mm. But I don't even think they ever got the chance to. So that statement really...
Oh, OJ's
literally
statement
fell
to the jury? Wasn't he doing that live to the jury?
No, the jury was not there. So
he
that
wasn't there yet.
Marsha objected, and they said, well, the jury's not even here. So I mean,
I missed that part. Okay, I was...
But the reason Cochran did it, because he knows, you know, there's leaks.
Right.
And so that if it's a long deliberation, the jury will hear that statement, and it only helps them bolster OJ's innocence.
I missed that,
But yeah.
Yeah, the conjugal visits, everything was pretty much leaking to the jury anyway.
Right.
So.
But it ended up a very short deliberation, so it didn't really matter.
it was almost as short as... It was almost the same length of the episode.
So props to Dale Godboldo and Angel Parker. They had a lot of great little moments in the
they
scene.
Did.
But, you know, Sean Chapman pulls him aside and says, look, he's getting these death threats. And then that was the scene where we kind of see Johnny thinking about the phrase, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. So that was kind of cool to see him coming up with that in the room alone, you know?
You've made it when you've got death threats, you know?
Yeah.
Public figure gets them. So.
Closing statements. Woo! We see each individual, you know, we see Marsha and Darden. Let's talk about Marsha. So she is painting Furman. I mean, she knows. She's not denying that Furman's a bad person and that he's a racist and that he made mistakes. But her argument was, should we let this one bad apple allow a murderer to get away, basically.
Yeah, I think she was too extensive on that. She really, I guess...
Reminded us how bad he was.
Yeah, exactly. Her sense of justice felt like she had to address it, but she addressed it too hard. Mm-hmm. She should have almost taken, like, the Trump strategy and been like, he's an awful guy, but the LAPD is great, and let's continue on with that sort of line of thinking.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I think it almost wore into the jury how bad this guy was and that he could have really orchestrated a lot of what took place.
She was trying to do... I don't want to say reverse psychology, but you know when you trick someone, you're like, no, I wouldn't possibly,
yeah.
You know, I wouldn't be going against this person if I didn't believe what I was talking about.
Yeah, she acknowledged it, but she acknowledged it a little too hard.
She needed to overcome their objection.
Yeah.
And their objection is, this guy's shouldn't be on the LAPD, we've got corruption. So she had to handle it just as Johnny had to handle it when he did his ending statement, and he had to come out and say, yeah, he beat his wife.
Yeah.
That doesn't make him a killer.
Yeah, and you notice he was quick about it though. She should have really focused on how good he was procedurally. She should have talked Mark Furman's procedural history up, right. And that might have actually helped. So,
All I have to say is, after hearing both Darden and her, I mean, the way that Darden painted the picture of the history of Nicole and OJ, and kind of started with their relationship back then, and then gets into the domestic abuse. I mean, listening to both of those statements, I was like, oh my God, he's so guilty. Yeah. Right. You know? And then...
Darden more than... Clark, but...
It was emotional, and that's what they say also at the end of it, is that the jury was really emotional about it and didn't look at the hard evidence that Marcia had on, like, the poster board, like, you know, pointing things out.
Yeah, I don't know why she didn't do something like that earlier, why it wasn't depicted earlier. I don't know if that never took place, but it would have been more valuable to see that maybe in the middle or the earlier part of the trial and then revisit it later.
More valuable than 50 hours of DNA evidence. Yeah. It was too complex to understand.
You know, when it comes down to it, it almost feels like it was just too exhausting for the jury. Like, that's why it lasted 4 hours. Like, I probably couldn't even imagine another day if I didn't have to do it.
Exactly.
Like, I would just make the decision to make the decision. And you're right, because of everything that was shown in court, and more so the way that they spoke about it in the room, I felt like they brought up questions that I didn't think of.
Yeah.
Again, I could see how they went to not guilty, but I 100% understand the disappointment in it.
Right.
Yeah. That's interesting, because, you know, you said that you didn't like the disappointment as a black man.
Yeah. I mean, just I think we all bring our own biases. So so my bias is, as a black person, I've been vilified by people before when I've done nothing, and because of race. Mm-hmm. And so there was almost a sense of, is this also happening here? And I'm glad he's free, because I think maybe he was vilified, and that may have led to this idea that he did it, whether or not people were actually looking at the evidence. That aside, though, he was definitely a violent abuser. Mm-hmm. So, to some degree, he deserves a lot of that backlash, but not in relationship to the murder, but in relationship to the abuse.
Mm-hmm. I loved how Darden said, this trial is not about the N word, it's the M word, murder.
Yeah.
Oh, what a so good.
And I think if he had been found guilty, that might have been the line we'd all be,
right.
we'd be
talking about. Yeah.
It's not about the N word, it's about the M word.
I think this was Darden's episode. I think he came out strong. I like that character, how he developed through the trial. And, you know, more power to him. He's like, I see the emotion in his face. The actor pulled this off extraordinarily well.
Sterling Brown. If he doesn't get an Emmy nom, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
I quit TV.
Yeah. My respect for Darden grew throughout the thing. And to have just the power to stand to your mentor, to stand and look him in the face and say, no, I don't agree with you, that takes a lot.
Yeah.
That's not easy to do.
Johnny's closing statement.
Yeah.
The way he went about this, I mean, he turned it on to the jurors and almost was like, if you don't acquit him, the blame is on you for these injustices.
Yeah, he made it about more than OJ. And I think the defense did very well, at least as portrayed, tackling the evidence the prosecution put on. But even better than that, I think the psychology that Johnny employed was even better. That was really what won them the case. With
mass
that psychology.
Yeah. Because that's singular psychology is one thing, but to be thinking about the masses and to be bringing in the elements of the media to, you know, he managed those superbly.
I felt like he was a little bit dramatic, but it could have just been me watching the entire, like, series, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was really weird for me. Not dramatic, but, like, the way he emphasized his words, which he probably did anyways, because he was trying to make his point. He was trying to tell that final good story the way he said it. But for every single thing that he was saying, to talk like that, it was just like, okay, give me your closing statement. I just want to hear that, and that's it. Like, I understand that he was being passionate about it.
But do you feel like that's
what worked?
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
It had to have gravity. They had to understand this was bigger than OJ. Mm-hmm. That if OJ's not let off, every other black person that is going to be put in jail.
That made me believe him less. That was my issue.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting where you went with that, because I didn't expect that stance from you, whereas it was great from a trial attorney perspective. You go, that's great gamesmanship. And and when you look at how he had the ability to just roll from one thing to another and say, hey, it's not about this, it's about this, it's amazing. I'm not saying I agree with it. I just think, boy, he had some skill.
He was a good attorney.
That's interesting that you saw through that and you said, no, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he repeats, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit
three times,
which, Chris, you said that that's
the hypnosis. Magic number in hypnosis. So I teach, I built one of the largest hypnosis schools in the world, in neuro-linguistic programming, which is mind sciences and communication. But the magic number is 3 times. So you say it 3 times. Typically, you'll do it in 3 different ways, unless it's a phrase anchor, which is with the alliteration and the rhyming, the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. Then you want to say it exactly the same way. And in 3 times, it makes a deeper impact in the consciousness so that, you know, they walk around thinking that. And if you sum the entire case up into just that phrase, it's technically correct from a legal perspective. Mm-hmm. If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. However, they were extra large gloves, and he did wear extra large gloves, but it still sticks in your mind.
Wow. That was the other thing, though, too. When he said it 3 times, prior to me knowing that that was the magic number, that was the only time where I also thought, I was like, are you trying to hypnotize me? That's what I thought. Yeah. And
she's on to you.
Yeah. That's funny, because I think, again, like I said, it was more of a show at the end.
Yeah.
So, but that's final argument, though, isn't it often that way?
Well, I mean, it's not often a show. You definitely want to give the best closing you can, because it needs to be memorable. The jury has to go to that deliberation. Course. And if you have a phrase they can all remember and they can repeat to one another, that's even better.
So everybody's closing statements are over, and everybody's off for their own little vacations and things they have to do. Marcia's taking her kids to Santa Barbara. And the jury starts deliberating. Yeah. A whopping 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Deliberates for 4 hours. So they start doing little paper tallies just to get a feel for the room. Is that something that, I mean, would help, you think, the jury? Knowing what, like, your peers are saying?
Well, they did a traditional ballot first so that no one would know.
Right.
Each individual, but to know in general that everyone thinks it's guilty.
Yeah, because I think it lets you know, are we going to be digging in here for another few days, weeks, or months?
Right.
Or could we just kind of wrap this up?
Right.
So I think with 10-2, they see daylight, you know?
Yeah. Okay, tell me how the jury thing works. So does it have to be the majority? Does it have to be all 12? Like,
no, it's got to be unanimous verdict. So they had to, you know, I guess, talk to the two that were holdouts and convince them.
Wow, so the demon was convinced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
There has to be what?
Unanimous, like
all 12.
With the demon, I mean, but you had the two holdouts, and we think it was likely on racial divides. I know that the demon was one, and she was white, and then you had the other one. Everybody looked to the other one.
She was brand new too, right?
Did they ever reveal?
I don't think they revealed.
But everyone assumed, everyone looked over.
But if you're the two holdouts and everybody's been there for a year and it's like, we're not changing our mind, what do you do? Because the only other option is mistrial, right?
Yeah, and then you start to question, unless you can somehow flip to everybody else. And then you start to probably question your own motives if the only two people that are going not guilty are white. You go, wait, am I racist? I don't know. But
that's what I started thinking. I got confused. Pressure, everything was so confusing for me at the end. I'm surprised they did it in the 4 hours.
And so they're sitting there saying, never ever did I think that they proved it. And you see these deliberations going on and how everybody had their own little excuses for why they thought.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting. So
they did have good ones. The one with the glove.
Yeah, I like that.
So she said that. And then then the other lady was like, no, he couldn't have made that glove fit. And I was like, okay, you're right. But then I like that he also said, but they never got the solid proof. It was proof, but it wasn't like caught red-handed.
Yeah, there were real things. And then the blood, they said there's only a little bit of blood. And our friend that came in the other day, Dale, had mentioned that it was only small amounts of blood in all these places. And if you've got a cop that's corrupt, that says he plants evidence, that says he wants to commit genocide, as Johnny said so well, then how could you ever convict that person? You couldn't. So I put it, with respect, on the LAPD. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at why this case was lost.
I put it on that guy after hearing that.
Yeah, because there's no...
After hearing that,
yeah,
it's
the corruption that was present.
Yeah,
how remember when he said, he's like, the way that it was him and a bunch of other cops, meaning they're like on the same page. They washed up with the host and then went back to work.
Yeah, exactly. It's clear he wasn't the outlier, so...
Right. So everybody gets the call that the verdict has been made, and that's when my anxiety just started like revving up. I mean, you guys felt it too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we were all sitting here like,
even though we all know what it is, my heart was in my stomach.
It's the way they filmed it when they had that slow motion walk, and then the footsteps were so loud. It was just like,
And so because it was like, oh man, there's an actual verdict out of this.
Yeah. This was real life.
This was real life without us knowing what it was. You know, we watched the series knowing the end of it, but the series happened without anyone knowing anything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know who I was really impressed with in this was Gil Garcetti, because even though he took this huge blow to himself, and everybody was invested in it from their own perspective, but Gil Garcetti was, you know, giving Marcia that pep talk afterwards where it was like, you know, you went in there and did the best you could, and he came across as a good leader to me.
Yeah. So they all show up, and Johnny has a bunch of security with him. He's like, "Well, I'm getting death threats." This is like, who does he show up with? They mentioned Louis Farrakhan, which was a
Nation of Islam. Yeah.
Yes. Did he? He didn't show up with him, but people of.
Nation of Islam. I'm not sure if he was actually there, but yeah, he's
okay.
The leader.
Okay. Oh,
was Muhammad Ali a member of the Nation of Islam, or was he just?
I believe so. Yes.
Huh. Yeah.
So they go into
court.
I
know he's Muslim.
Yeah, because he converted. Yeah.
Right. And they show up, they showed OJ getting ready. He's shaving, which later we find out he has like a stubble on his
head. That was weird.
Well, it's because they went straight from the shaving to his face.
And it wasn't shaved.
He got to the courtroom and he wasn't shaved.
What I thought was interesting was the cop.
Yeah.
How he was still famous. He was still OG.
But that's
Well, that's what I think we saw in this episode was I was saying earlier to Chris before we started, we saw a lot of what was happening in the courtroom. Mm-hmm. We kind of know the racial tension in the courtroom. We know how people viewed OJ in the courtroom, the Goldmans, the Browns. We didn't really see as much of like the outside people.
Mm-hmm.
People that still were fans, people that were disappointed or thought he did it. And this episode really brought to light all those different elements. And they had the jailer, you know, this white guy thinking maybe he doesn't like OJ because he thinks he did it, but no, he was still
a
fan. He was a fan.
Can you sign this before you leave? Like, before you part? Like, can
football,
I get
for
this?
My son, too.
Yeah, of course.
That's what's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, here, let me, like, this possible murder. Let me get your
autograph.
Signed
your photo in football for you. Here you go, son.
What broke my heart for a second was when Darden and Marcia were together, and he's like, what if we won?
I know.
Like,
too. You know what like that reminded me of, too, was in Titanic when they thought that they were going to both live. They had this like no, I'm not kidding because it was so intense that I was like, shit, you don't even know what's about to happen to you.
She lets go, and that's it.
But you had said Pega earlier that that they were just so caught up, they were just so out of touch with the reality of the situation that it was sad.
I think everyone was. They must have, because I feel like in the beginning of the show or during this entire event, it was very black and white, no pun intended. But, and then all of a sudden, everyone got stuck in this gray area, which I feel like O.J. Simpson was in that gray area for the rest of his life.
Well, if you remember in the beginning of the first couple episodes, Marcia mentions avoiding the media.
Yeah.
So I think she was really out of touch with what people were seeing and saying about the trial. Whereas Johnny was like looking at the media every day, so he kind of felt like he knew what was happening on the ground and the groundswell, and that's why you see he did certain things that were media savvy to to play to that.
I also think it'd be helpful to hear the opinions of us regular folk because it's a different perspective. Yes, we don't have the law side of it, but
and I think it could wash both ways where you now change your legal strategy based on what the public is doing, and then all of a sudden it backfires in the courtroom.
It could go anyway. So you're playing with fire, right?
Yeah.
So we're getting ready for this verdict. And I loved how everything was so exact. Everybody's outfits. And I can't wait to go back, actually, after this when I get home tonight. I'm going to rewatch the verdict. I've seen it a million times, but just to make the comparison. So they hand the envelope to the foreperson. She checks. Now, explain that. So there's a form that they all sign that says...
And so it's important that all the forms are the same and that what they had put in the envelope or what they gave to the... to the bailiff is the same stuff that they have in that envelope. So right. It's just procedural check.
I want to be a lawyer with you. I really do. I'm just like thinking, I was like, can I be the marshal to your Chris, honestly?
I do.
Well, did you guys do your hair alike tonight?
I mean,
yeah.
I did my hair like her, yeah.
It looks so good. I was going to say something. I've learned so much from you, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
It's been a school day.
But it's not nearly as exciting in real life. So.
Okay, yeah. Sure. But it's still nice to hear.
I was impressed by the law, by watching and just learning, too. Learning how it rolls out and stuff, and yeah. how powerful they must be as courtroom attorneys.
Yeah.
That's a powerful position. You got to have...
And you see how much evidence you can hear and you can't hear. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of Mark Furman's, what we heard, wasn't available to the jury. So... you get a little bit of the gamesmanship a lot in this series.
Yeah. I get such nostalgia when I hear the woman read the verdict. And maybe it's because I was so young when it was read the first time and hearing it over and over throughout the years.
It was so nerve-wracking.
Right?
Though. Ah, man, still. And I stood up like it was the last, you know, free shot at a basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
What is she going to say? Yeah. I'm like, I know what she's going to say. But it made me sad. And because the demon lady started getting emotional, I was like, why are you getting emotional, demon lady? You know, like, she felt so guilty. Like, that's when she broke out of the entire show.
Right.
And then, honestly, like, what Darden hugging the Goldmans.
Yes.
Yeah, that was an emotional moment, yeah.
And as that one juror was leaving, he put his hand up to OJ, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I know. OJ was like, man, you're making me look bad right now.
Well, but OJ acknowledged it. OJ
he
was,
did,
and then
he
saw Marcia,
like,
and then
yeah.
he was like,
oh. It was a slight, yeah.
Exactly no. that.
Yeah. I thought the, it's interesting, all the different emotional triggers, and I think it was interesting how Darden hugged the Goldmans, because in Darden's mind, OJ did it, and it became really, really clear there that he yeah. was, you know...
He really
believed that he did mm-hmm. it. And yeah, so that was interesting to see with all the other racial tension that was happening for me.
I love seeing Robert Kardashian. I mean, we've all known that he's had doubts about OJ pretty early on in the season.
Yeah. yeah.
And when he goes to throw up and he washes his mouth and he looks at himself in the mirror, it was so powerful. It was like, did this really just happen? Mm-hmm. Like,
we saw him kind of break down.
Yeah. And then when he makes eye contact with Marcia in the hall, they look at each other. It was almost like he gave her like a look of, I have no idea how that just happened.
Or and like or a sorry almost as well.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, I'm ambivalent about his character because... I guess he was in a tough spot.
Yeah.
I'd rather you go, I think you did it, and I'm off this team, mm-hmm. rather than stay there the entire time and then kind of boo-hoo the not guilty verdict.
I think I understand because you are loyal, but because he wasn't so close, like he still had OJ to a distance, it was okay. Everything was still in that gray area. But once OJ was out and he saw him and he knows his friend, it's as if everything kind of hit him all over again,
yeah.
and now he can't be content with that. Meaning, yeah. I think I was happy, or I was excited to hear her say not guilty, even though I was nervous for it, but when she said it, the reality of it was much more emotional than what I thought it was going to be.
I see yeah. the tension building in Pega's face.
Well,
because I think you would think, because it kind of built along the way where for Robert Kardashian, where he was in shock, and he felt that his friend could not have possibly done this thing, and he wanted to convince himself of that. And then, as it wore on, as the way I saw it was, he's like, shit, this guy very well could do it, and I'm playing for the wrong side. That's how I view it.
Well, now I wonder, I mean, so I didn't like that ambivalence. I wish he had just kind of come out and said it. Now, if it's that he realizes how badly he was beating Nicole, that's another thing. And that's something you go to your friend, I can't support you because of now I know the history of what really, really happened. But to be kind of like, boohooing the not guilty verdict when you're supposed to be there as a supporter, I just didn't like that.
I think friendship. He was in denial. I think he was in denial.
I think it was him accepting, like, okay, so having heard the not guilty allowed him to realize, okay, I do think he's guilty.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, it was more of like a realization. I guess boohooing, but it's like.
Shocker's gone. I don't buy it, but let's move on.
No, I do buy it. I wish he had removed himself from that team. Like, don't ride with the team if you're not on the team.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm with you there.
I do think that that's what happened. That they said not guilty, and he's like, okay, that's not what I believe.
Yeah.
Gil, Marcia, and Darden sitting in the room, and she breaks down, and he's crying. I mean, what an emotional moment.
You guys were crying.
We were crying. Yeah. And he's saying that, you know, he's been in office, what, for 20 years? And what people are going to remember him by is that he lost his case.
Yeah. Yep.
And his career, I mean, he, like we saw at the end, he didn't get reelected. Yeah. He was going to go for district attorney or something after that, and that didn't happen. So.
And for those of us who didn't even remember, now we are again. Right?
Yeah. He's reminded. Know, was Gil Garcetti there during the riots that had occurred before that? Was he in office at that point?
I don't know either. Oh, right? Because if he spent 20 years.
Oh, because he had been there 20 years. Yeah, so he must have been there for the riots.
I got to fact check.
So he got to, let us know.
Somebody. So then they have to go make the public announcement, and nobody wants to do it. It's how dreadful, right?
And so coming so quickly after they closed the trial, they thought, like Gil Garcetti said, he thought he had time.
Bless you. That sounded like a mouse.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He just said he had time. So, it was interesting to have to face that so quickly. Yeah.
And with the family standing there, too, it's so hard.
Yeah. And because at the end of the day, it was two families that you were trying to defend.
Yeah.
And
the verdict was so quick, and it was so quick, so it was like, you really didn't do your job.
Yeah, and they couldn't prepare for their statement or anything. And
It was embarrassing.
At least if you have long deliberations, you say, okay, they're really chewing on what we presented.
Yeah.
But it was just, it's embarrassing.
Darden, I think, took the day again. I love the vulnerability that he showed. Mm-hmm. Even walking away from the podium, I mean, you really got the message 100% of where he stood in the thing. So.
Yeah.
I liked him.
I loved how when they're all walking away, the reporter's like, are you going to look for the real killer now?
I like that question. See, the guy was found not guilty.
Right.
It's a valid question to say. Well, I mean, of course, I think he was trying to emote something, but it's a valid question to say, does the investigation continue? Yeah.
Okay.
Are you continuing to look for people that may have done this, you know?
True. Mm. Shaka, God, you're always so smart. Smart comebacks. Can't get you.
He's a damn lawyer.
Real quick with Fred and Kim, they get into the car and it's like, what do you do now? Yeah. Exactly what she said. What do you do now?
That was a sad part,
Heartbreaking. But then you see Fred. Did you see that little, it's like at the end of Batman, Superman, and I won't reveal the end, but when the dirt on the coffin rises a little bit.
Oh.
It's like, and Fred Goldman looked like that.
Do not.
I'm not going to reveal.
I feel like I know what happens at the end now.
I'm not going to say it.
That sucks.
I didn't say it. I said nothing.
So one of them dies and then comes back.
No, I didn't say it. But that was like Fred Goldman's moment where he, like, they were set and then she's like, what are we going to do now? And
he's like, take that $33,000 back. Oh,
wait, let's set him up in Vegas. Fred, I don't know what happened.
No, but I think it was that sense of, they lost their son.
Hopelessness.
And what do you do when you lose something? You focus on something else. So they had this trial to focus on. And I think you saw all the parties that kind of happened to where there was no more trial.
Yeah.
So now we have to really confront the reality that my son is gone and I don't have the justice I wanted.
But he looked determined in that moment. Did you see that?
Yeah. He's got to keep fighting. He's got to keep fighting for something, right?
Yeah.
And I think you saw it with OJ too, like that moment where he's crying by himself. It's just...
It's over.
It's over.
Oh, my God, how exhausting.
What are we all living for, yeah?
The crying part, I didn't see as, like, a sign of guilt at all. There are There are times where I was like, okay, he's crying because he's guilty, and other times where he's just happy to be where he's at. The part where she's giving her statement, or Darden is, and OJ starts to cry, that's the part that got to me also.
I
felt bad for him, but I couldn't help but think, was he reminiscing on what he had done, or was he thinking about what had been done?
I felt like he didn't get emotional in the beginning of the trial in regards to that whole thing happening. I think even if he did it's my belief that he was sad about it, you know? Right. So you just don't know where
that he would be like, that just sucks.
You don't know where those tears are coming from.
Oof. If I had a superpower, it would be to
You say that now, and then you'd walk down the street in Hollywood and change your mind real quick.
That's true. Okay.
Real quick.
So we anticipate that Johnny and Darden are going to have a talk.
Yeah.
And it was, wow. Like, I want to get you back into the community. He's like, I never left.
Right.
That was powerful. I thought it was just a powerful conversation. I liked it. You didn't seem to like it as much. I was watching it.
Well, I thought Darden and Marshall were just so out of touch with what was happening. Mm-hmm. It was as if Darden didn't realize the broader implications of what was taking place. He was mm-hmm. saying, you didn't help our community at all. You just got this one guy in Brentwood off.
Yeah.
And regardless of what you think, Johnny really brought a light to the issue.
Sure.
President Clinton is talking about it. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, I don't know how they were so... They had these blinders on.
And speaking of blinders, oh, shoot. I can't even see my cup. Speaking of one. But that's what we kind of talked about in the hallway, is that there was this bigger issue, this racial tension issue, and clearly there was corruption. There were things that were happening that were wrong in the community that perhaps white people could never even see because they didn't have the perspective of, as you were saying, being on your college campus and saying, being told not to walk behind a white girl late at night. But so they couldn't even see that. It's brought to our consciousness. But I got Darden's position when he said, you know, you did nothing for us. And then when you heard afterwards where they're talking about it and they're saying, hey, he did shine a light on the LAPD. If there was some good that was to come from this for the families, because you got the Goldmans, you got the Browns, and they certainly feel that justice was not done in the courtroom, even though we know that there were bigger issues. So there was a victory that was had. The families felt the justice wasn't done, but there was a victory, as you and I had said, putting the magnifying glass on the corruption that was a real deal, as evidenced by Mark Furman. That magnifying glass was very powerful, and it became a topic. It's kind of like Edward Snowden. It becomes a topic, and then all of a sudden you see laws changing and stuff because bad shit was being done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The DOJ comes in to investigate, and I think those blinders that they had, that's why they lost the case. Because early on, you see Darden goes, I don't feel right about Furman.
Right.
And if they had taken off the blinders and really looked into Furman, then he would not be their star witness in what they arrested the case on.
And that's the LAPD.
And had he stuck to his gun and realized that, because it was...
Yeah.
That was obviously still an issue, yeah. I didn't like that either of them said that. I didn't like that he said, I'll bring you back to community, because that was a little bit insulting. Yeah. And I also didn't like him to say, no, nothing's going to change. I'm like, no, a lot's going to change.
I think it was insulting to a degree, but I think at the time, what we forget is that everyone was calling this guy an Uncle Tom.
Yeah.
And so he's saying, that cannot be a pleasant thing. So let's bring let black people to be on your side again, and want you to be a crusader, you know. So.
I think there was a greater good from a crusader perspective that actually occurred in the spotlight on the LAPD. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the legacy of the victims. Maybe the legacy of the victims gets to be that they were able to create social change, or try to. We still have shit happening on the other side of the country where they're shooting people in the back and planting stuff. Mm-hmm. But there was something good that came from it, even though the families may not think that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? So they have a celebration. And speaking about victory, when he goes and sees Bill Clinton on TV, and he's saying, you know, we have to try to understand why we see the world in different ways. Mm-hmm. And Johnny's like, that right there is the victory.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That was powerful.
Yeah. He knew we had our first black president there.
You want to know why?
People called him,
This is crazy, because I'm going to bring this all the way back to the article that I had brought up in the very beginning.
Nice.
At the end of the article, what the writer is saying is that the whole reason why people should talk about it instead of, like, feel bad about it, is that it's different when someone who's black is talking about it, because then they're just viewed upon as just, you know, an angry black person.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas someone who may have a different tone or speak differently, like, if you're not black, you should talk about it too.
Yeah.
Because they're going to hear you before they hear me. And so I think that that's what was so great about hearing Bill Clinton say that, because it's like, look, it's not just the black community talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is other people visualizing it, and this is our president of the United States seeing it.
Yeah.
So, like, that's great. Completely understood why he got emotional, and that was the victory at that moment.
Well, massively impressive. Bill Clinton, there's not been another. I mean, Bill Clinton's
best
awesome.
Best president ever. So, Darden and Marsha, we find out a dark little bit of her past is that she was raped, unfortunately, in Italy by a waiter.
And I can't even imagine that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I can't, yeah. But she uses that as her driving force in her career, is she's seeking vengeance and that she wants justice for victims.
Yeah.
It really made me look at her differently.
Yeah.
I mean, I always respected her, and I thought that she was very good at what she did, powerful,
fighting
but
for her
now I understand
herself.
The fire behind it.
And the that they will see it. They will just see it and know, you know, that idea that here's this victim, and the there's no way, regardless of the fame, that they're just going to know. Remember the first couple episodes, she was like, oh, no, they're going to get it because I've walked into juries and they get it, you know?
Which is interesting from the, you know, in Italy, he said, what happened back then? Same thing that happened here. So she's got this pattern that's playing out in her life. But it's not uncommon for somebody to have some wrong or injustice or some traumatic experience that drives them to do what they do.
Right. OJ is released from jail. Yeah. And who's there standing there waiting for him? Yeah. Good old
his effed up friend.
Bobby.
He's just a hot mess now.
Yeah. They really, really played up how sick he was about this verdict. He's in the bathroom, like, about to throw. He's looking at Mercer, you know.
I know. I wonder if Chris. Was he that I wonder if they spoke up? To Kris Jenner, and Kris Jenner was like, I really need you guys to make sure that Robert is portrayed as.
Absolutely disgusted with everything that happened.
But I think they said that they weren't talking to people, really, though. I mean, maybe with the actors.
I mean, but I could see them talking to Kris Jenner about it if she's one of the producers and if she loves to talk about it. I think she is, isn't she?
I don't know. I'll have to fact check that.
I feel like I thought she was.
We should have a fact check buzzer. We should. Yeah, so he is giving the Bible back that Rob gave him.
Yeah.
It just goes to show, like, what a good friend he was. And that, you know, he was very religious. We all knew that. And that he lent his friend his Bible. And then we see that Bible later returned at the party. Let's talk about the party. He throws a party. I don't know. Would you guys do that? Would you guys throw a huge party?
I think so. Because I think, again, OJ was also out of touch with. I think he was surprised by the protesters because he got a not guilty verdict. You know, his interactions is with the people in the jail that consider him a celebrity. Mm-hmm. So I think he didn't realize as well the backfire he would get.
I mean, I can only imagine, though, also coming from the lifestyle that he did. After a year, right?
A year in jail,
just to be around people.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't show the party to be like so happy-go-lucky. I mean, it was quite disturbing for him, I would say.
It was, especially after the statement he made.
Right. Yeah.
That was so awkward.
And I bet you $100 that happened because no one knows how to feel about it.
And that was the out of touchness he had. He thought he was viewed as not guilty. You know, he gets a puppy from his son.
Yeah.
And he said, I want to make sure you always have a friend.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you see. Maybe I won't have friends after this.
He thought he was a golden child.
Yeah. That line was so great. He's like, I just want to make sure that you're not like ever alone or you always have a friend. Yeah. Just because that's what I mean where he entered the gray area.
Yeah,
the Riviera, he's like, oh, I did lose.
Yeah, he wants the lunch. He wants the dinner. He thinks that he's going to go back to life as normal. So he missed out on what was really playing out in the streets.
He can't even get a table at his favorite restaurant where he knows everyone.
Yeah, call a special guy. He'll make sure. Yeah, I already did.
You're not coming in. Yeah. And the part that I thought that was really, really interesting is how he did give that statement and he said, we're going to find the real killers. By the way, to my knowledge, he never did anything along those lines afterwards. But having said that, he gives the statement and there's sparse applause, which I don't know if you guys think it means something different. For me, that says, we don't buy it.
Oh, yeah, I think.
Yeah, from his own party guests.
Yeah.
And then they keep partying around him, which I had mentioned while we were in there. I think that, to me, is just they're leeching off the celebrity. Mm-hmm. And it's disgusting that even though they think that the guy killed people, they're going to show up for his party because he's going to have good champagne.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, it's like.
I loved when they left the room and it had a shot of the Heisman Trophy, which is what got him jail in Nevada. That's why he stole
for the 33 years, for the $33 million he didn't pay for the civil trial.
Now, Shaka, is he gonna have to on that $33 million when he gets out of prison?
No, that's why he went to Florida to shield a lot of his assets.
Right, so he has it in the house that's out there, but he's got to when he starts making income.
It depends on how. I know they can't touch his pension from the NFL, so it just kind of depends on how. On if he makes income, they'd probably be able to attach to it.
Right,
so,
like put liens on the accounts and stuff, even though it's so long after.
But it would have to be normalized income,
Got it.
Our fact checker behind the scenes,
Kris Jenner, was not a producer on the show.
He turned out there.
Psych. Basically, is that it?
Yeah, guys? Now let's just recap on what we think.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
What have we learned? I'm just kidding.
Oh, man. How much time do we have?
A little weirdly grateful to have had. To be able to watch this again. I just didn't think. I didn't know how serious this was. As much as it is serious and not serious, this was in our history.
Yeah.
In our pop history, if you will.
I love being reintroduced to it. I love seeing the parallels between then and now. So we've come so far, but there's still a lot of things that we need to get right in this country. Mm-hmm. So that was great. But I'm looking forward to Martin Sheen's new O.J. I think it's a sort of a movie or a biopic, I don't know. But he's aiming to prove that O.J. didn't actually do it.
Yeah.
And so I'm interested in seeing where that goes, because I think I had the idea he's not guilty.
Right.
Based on the evidence, he's not guilty. But I would love to get some definitive proof.
Yes,
I need to
of
know.
Course. Because at the end of the day, that's where I am. That's where I lie. It's not because I don't think he did it. It's just like what the juror said. It's just because I didn't get the proof that he didn't.
Yeah.
Or that he did.
That he did do it.
That he did do it.
Yeah.
Marcia Clark actually made a statement about this new Martin Sheen thing. Martin Sheen?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and she's like, it's despicable, the fact that you would make something like this and blame it on Jason the son, and so she definitely
it's
has some comments.
I don't know. It might be the blinders. I don't
you
know.
You can't think, Martin Sheen, if he's going to do it, one has to think that he believes in what he's doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So he's, I spoke with him on stage one time in Canada, and he's an interesting guy. He's a lovable guy. He's a friendly guy, and he comes across as a really honest man, so he must believe in that cause.
Mind you, this is the same guy who had... Martin Sheen is
not Charlie.
Not Charlie.
His son.
His dad.
Yeah.
His dad. Control, right? His dad. Martin Sheen's doing okay. Yeah. So, let's say, I know that one of them ain't doing this.
You were like, what?
Martin Sheen was on one of those talk shows, and the host said, so I guess it says that you're blaming all this stuff on your testosterone replacement instead of drugs. And he says, yeah, he said, I just have one thing to say about that. He said, whatever you do, don't snort that stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
But in terms of, I think OJ was guilty, but I also think that there was corruption in the LAPD, and I think it's quite possible that Furman may have planted evidence. And so, unfortunately, that F's it all up, and I can't even put that on Marcia Clark. And I don't, it's easy to backseat drive. So, you know, there's plenty of fine men and women that serve our country and in the agencies, the federal agencies, as well as on the police force. And then there's some spots that need to be cleaned out. And this brought that to light. So that I was, I thought it was a blessing to be able to watch this and go through it again and see all the different aspects and perspectives of it.
I blame Marcia a little bit, though, because I really do think she was just out of touch, and she was a little bit out-lawyered, too. But just that one scene, it goes back to Darden going, I don't feel right about him.
Yeah.
And just not having that sense. And when he says, you wanted a black face, not
a
black
voice.
And I really felt that was true to some degree. Mm-hmm. You know, Gil had approached her earlier in one of the episodes and said, for the optics, let's bring him in.
Exactly.
And so I think that was
She thought about that too initially. And then again, because of her naiveness, her blindness, her color blindness. Yeah, it's
I think she played it, she played it wrong. And you have to realize that a legal case isn't just about the facts. It's also about how you lawyer and that strategy. Mm-hmm. And Johnny knew that very well.
And the strategy and Johnny and the dream team, you have to throw some of the points in their court for bringing this thing home and winning it.
Oh, my God.
Because, when you can afford the best legal defense in the world, then, how does the state deal with that? It's kind of like Trump running
why
for
does
office.
It, was the you, state you know? Not allowed to have more than two lawyers? Why was it only Marcia and Chris?
They have a budget. So, they can't They can't go into small towns and interview someone who talked to Furman 5 years ago or 10 years ago. But the defense can. You know, if the defense was not as moneyed as they were, then maybe they never find out about what Furman says.
Right.
And he presents himself as the perfect witness.
In the perfect
witness. Which he had done before. Wow. He had done
that's why you gotta get that money if you get caught up in something.
Well, that's also, I think that puts that into the magnifying glass as well. The power of money and influence and how that can either buy freedom or not. So I think that less than a black and white thing, I see it as money and influence, although we know that the racial divide
is real. I'm going to say...
And a celebrity thing.
In 2016, I hope it's like an awareness for all of us to say that, damn, like color rule shit still plays a factor in everybody.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But I think financially it's gotten even worse. So as we've gotten away from...
Color,
it being it's socioeconomic.
Yeah.
And so it's still both racial and socioeconomic, but it's now even more so socioeconomic.
Yeah. So all the celebrity, socioeconomic, race,
And we've almost created more prejudice, if you will, because there's just different random classes. It's not just upper, middle, and lower.
Anything else you guys want to add? I want to get into predictions of next season. I mean, I know kind of what we think it's about.
Let me add one thing just before. Okay, I know you were just going to apologize. The only thing I'd like to add is for the families. You know, just my heart goes out to you. Respect from all of us.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they had to go through this not just once, but now twice, and probably again when Martin Sheen rolls his thing out. And, you know, two people lost their lives, and that's what the trial was meant to be about. We know that it could serve a larger purpose, but...
And I love that they ended the series with that. That was so important. That was so important. So I think that was...
With the families,
Nicole and Ron. That was it. It's a trial, so it has to be about more than just Nicole and Ron. It's got to be about the gamesmanship, the OJ. But at the end of the day, those two lives were lost. And I think they did. I think they honored both of them. I think we got throughout the entire series. I thought they were honored pretty well.
Mm-hmm. And I hope everyone's reminded that if you are a victim of domestic violence, to speak out about it. Direct message me on Twitter. Yeah. I'll help you out.
Yeah, because we have views about OJ, or you know, we might have liked a particular scene, does not mean that we promote domestic violence. We do not
at all.
Gosh, and I love how Ito is the only one that didn't write a book about this whole thing.
And he,
like, I don't want to relive that.
He looked like he went through hell.
Yeah, he did. He just wanted to be happy and married again.
Let's get into predictions real quick.
Predictions? I don't know. I don't know.
I know. Well,
for next season?
I guess we could just talk about So it's about Hurricane Katrina and the aftermath. But I've been reading some things that, you know, this show had a lot to do with race, obviously, but they're going to continue that race line going into Katrina, because why did it take so long for them to provide aid over there and all that? So
I have three large memories of... of Hurricane Katrina. One of them was Hurricane Katrina.
Kanye.
One of them was super. I don't want to say ignorant, but pretty ignorant on my behalf. Where I remember thinking that because it was in New Orleans, I was like, well, you know, there's that story in the Bible about.
Here she goes.
Exactly. I'm like, you know, there's that story in the Bible about the two angels who come to visit the family and save the family, but then the mother looks back and turns to dust.
See, I thought you were going to say, if you lift your t-shirt for beads, you get turned to salt.
I thought of that, and I was like, okay, that sucks, and because it was water, what if it was God's way of cleansing of that part of the that part of the world? Swear to God, that's just what went through my head. Again, I am identifying that as ignorance.
What was your Twitter and Instagram again?
All your hate mail, at Stephanie Georgie.
All of the comments are going to be rolling now.
Hey, you know what? The confidence means you're not afraid to be wrong, which I was wrong, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But and then the second thing was, I remember a student's brother was there at the time, and then the third thing was that we had a girl come from Hurricane Katrina, and she entered my dance class, and she was a hot mess. She was a victim. Her house, everything was destroyed, and I cannot believe one of them from, like, one of the people from New Orleans came to, I was in San Diego, and like the most random place.
Wow.
But they had to ship her out by herself. Wow. She had to leave her family and everything. It was so sad.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's so much from that time that obviously it was recent enough. But what I do remember, you know, obviously Kanye saying George Bush hates black people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost kind of interesting because we watched that episode, that piece with Clinton and the pride that Johnny has. And now we have that kind of juxtaposed many years later. And so I thought that was, while I didn't believe it, I thought it was a good point. It was hyperbole to illustrate something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it'll be interesting to see how they play that, like how they play the federal government's role with regard to people of color, with regard to people of lower socioeconomic status, and how we see it affects us just, you know, recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I saw the socioeconomic status part. I didn't see the racial part. Obviously, I mean, I just didn't think of that. But what I remember from Hurricane Katrina is, as you bring it up now, they didn't send them help as quickly as a lot of people thought they should. And there was a lot of looting and stuff, which at first I was thinking, okay, socioeconomics could play into that. I never thought of race. But then when you think of looting, well, shit, they might have been starving or needing to find food and stuff. And they're
bad. It's like,
so what's a crime in that type of circumstance?
And the I do remember the Superdome, how awful the Superdome was. Because I remember just hearing awful stories about people being packed on one another and, you know,
like straight up Ellis Island, like on the ships coming back over here. Yeah. And that's it. They were. I remember that too. And so, I saw videos of it already. Oh, it'll be good.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
That's my prediction. It'll be very good and very sad.
What actors from this season are going to cross over? Because you know how Ryan Murphy loves that again,
Oh, it's not going to be documentary. Is it going to be like a focus on certain families and just
no. Same type of series, with American Horror Story, he keeps a lot of the same principal actors and they play different roles. And so
no, I'm saying it's going to be done like as a perspective from a story of one of the victims.
I don't know. That's going
to
be good.
It'll be interesting to see if we get Sarah Paulson in this one again. If we get Sterling.
Did he bring them over from another series before this one?
Well, Sarah Paulson was in American Horror Story.
Oh, she was.
And she's been in all different seasons, and she's always a different character.
Yeah. So Ryan Murphy's known for taking the main characters and reusing them as totally different roles each season. Amazing. So we'll see if he does that with this series as well.
Yeah.
So Sarah Paulson could actually win in the next season. She could do something that wins the game.
Yeah.
She could be redeemed.
Make her a winner, Ryan. Make her a winner.
You guys, thank you so much for tuning in week after week for 10 weeks. It's been really great breaking it down. Thanks to you guys. It's been really, really fun. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at PegaRad. Keep in touch with me.
It was awesome recapping this story with you guys. Follow me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie, on Instagram and the Stephanie Georgie.
Yeah. what a great series, guys. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Shaka Strong.
Yeah, I thought it was really awesome to be here. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Chris Howard Live. You can also find me at legendarylivingdaily.com for tips and different types of things, and legendarylivingtv.com.
Awesome. We'll see you guys next season.
Bye. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.